You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. This past Sunday, Detroit Free Press music critic Brian McCollum took a look at three white rap artists who all got launched in Southeast Michigan in the 90s, all built a national, even international fan base, and all on deeply divided sides of the political spectrum. We're talking about Eminem, Kid Rock, and ICP, Insane Clown Posse. And that's where we're going to go for this look at Detroit music, as we say hello to Paul Young, founder and publisher of Detroit Music Magazine, and executive editor Khaled Body. Great to have you guys both back with us.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
So among these three, Paul, what unites these three and what divides them?
I mean, as we kind of talked about before, they're obviously all from the Metro Detroit kind of sphere. They're all in the hip-hop community, and they all have been coming up in the news lately. So they all are very politically relevant, and they've had long storied careers. So these are people who've made it out of the Detroit scene and have kind of reached national stardom, and now they've got this voice, and at least in recent times, they've been using that voice to share a lot of their political views.
All right, let's start with Kid Rock, who wraps up his series of six shows at Little Caesars Arena tonight and tomorrow night, shows which have drawn protesters and controversy. And Khaled, I know you saw it.
Yeah, I live right by the arena itself in the heart of District Detroit. And I can tell you that even if you didn't know who was performing, you could tell that there's quite a change in the atmosphere. But really, the draw has been Kid Rock. I mean, he has a restaurant in the stadium itself with his name attached to it. And with his recent announcements about running for office.
Flirting.
Yeah,
flirting.
Exactly. Yeah. Who knows?
He hasn't officially even announced, but we're all talking about it.
That's part of the controversy, too. Is he going to do it or is he not? It's heightened the intensity and excitement for some people and some of the furor for some people. It's been quite a hullabaloo.
All right. We're going to go back to his earliest days when Bob Ritchie of Romeo was kind of morphing into Kid Rock. And this is a cut from his debut album, Grits Sandwiches for Breakfast. And of course, today, Kid Rock, staunch supporter of Donald Trump, once used the Confederate flag a lot. He stopped doing that after getting an award from the NAACP. But there's a real country feel to his stuff today, isn't there? He's kind of moved away from that white rap.
Big time. Yeah. And in fact, you can kind of see where the evolution of Kid Rock has started in 1990. But that first era of his, that rap era, is about 90 to 97. And then till about 2002, he really gets into the rap rock, and that's kind of where we see him kind of blow up with Devil Without a Cause. And then 2003 to 2009, he's really in that Southern rock revival kind of state. And then for the next maybe 5 years or so, it's really like a heartland rock sound, kind of like a family-friendly almost version of Kid Rock, minus a few expletives here and there. And then very currently, like his last album, First Kiss, it's really just a country sound. And it's kind of like this polished, really kind of highly produced country sound.
So do rap fans feel like he's not the real thing?
I mean, I think it depends on who you speak to. For a lot of his fans, it's the genre is immaterial. They are there for Kid Rock. And I think whatever type of music he performs or whatever genre he aligns himself with, they're going to follow. And I think he's been pretty calculated, but also in an advantageous way for how he uses those different styles and jumps from genre to genre to broaden his fan base.
Let's go over to Eminem now. And is it fair to call him a superstar, Paul?
I would say at this point it'd be crazy not to. I think he maybe is like the third most followed person on all social media, something like that. And yeah, his early stuff, I mean, he was really trying to prove himself in a community and a music world, especially in Detroit, that was just like, you know, it was very competitive. This is the 90s, and hip hop is at its golden age. So there's a lot of influence happening from like the East Coast. So Eminem always says that he was highly influenced by Mobb Deep and Wu-Tang Clan and a lot of these infamous East Coast sounds. But also at the same time, you're now hearing the voice of, you know, like Tupac. You're familiar with Dr. Dre and Ice Cube and all these West Coast influences. So the time that Eminem came around, there really hadn't been a big mainstream white rap artist. I think the closest thing would probably be like the Beastie Boys.
Yeah. So here's a clip from his debut studio album, Infinite. This is 313. In the 313, you don't know this, so when you see one fleet, you can be Run D. You never be the MC. I stopped the alphabet at S, I got it down to a T. I'm sure you're bound to agree. A sweet MC crashed the spot. I make the roof hot like I was Rock Master Scott. Your raps I got. So just in case you don't remember me, I'll run your brain around the block because you're giving off memory. All right, so he is right in your face and always has been. His fans know him, and he has kind of kept that.
Yeah, if anything, he's gotten more, you know, idiosyncratic, and his style has become his own. If you listen to 313, you can hear a lot of that jazz rap influence from, like, Native Tongues, Low End Theory by a Tribe Called Quest. So it's kind of a shock to hear that stuff now because his voice has become more strident. His rhymes have become more aggressive. At times, they're just showing off technical prowess. But again, his fans who followed him have gone along with every career move that he's made. And it's, again, served him very well.
And as we'll hear from, this is Campaign Speech, his longest song to date. It's over 7 minutes, so we will not be playing it all. But this shows he is on the opposite end of the political spectrum from Kid Rock. That's the understatement of the century.
Yeah.
Expired tags on my Saturn got Catherine Bach in the back and Daisy Dukes with the hazards on. At a traffic stop, getting harassed, signing autograph of this poor sack. Cop's daughter laughed because I called her a brat on it. He spat on it and brought it back, looking half in shock. Had a heart attack and dropped dead, started falling back with it and got slapped with a Colin Kaepernick practice sock.
It's interesting, too, in his development that Eminem has gotten progressively more woke as he's developed as an artist. He did come under fire early in his career for using the N-word, but he's since, you know, taken that back and really embraced a sort of social justice stance that you might not expect from someone who's touted as the angry young man from Detroit.
Now, this past weekend, there was the rally, the Juggalo rally. These are the fans of the Insane Clown Posse. And remind us again, why were they rallying in Washington, Paul?
So ICP was not that long ago. They were basically designated as a formal gang by the FBI. And so they think that that's pretty unfair. And so they're kind of just speaking out on behalf of their own First Amendment rights, saying that, you know, this is about the music and certainly they don't condone any sort of mass violence or anything like that. Being as the subject matter, a lot of their music can be violent, semi-problematic. You know, there's a contention there. So I was on the fringe of that gathering over the weekend, just kind of observing. And, you know, things seemed pretty peaceful and people seemed pretty friendly. It was a pretty interesting display.
So where is ICP on the political spectrum?
You know, it's funny because during their first album, which we're going to hear a little bit of, they have a song that's called Your Rebel Flag, and the entire song is actually speaking out against the Confederate flag and the use of the Confederate flag by white people. And something that's really funny is on that same album, they paid $600 to have a feature by another up-and-coming white artist by the name of Kid Rock.
Ha! And this was in the 90s, right? So this was not like post-Charlottesville. We're talking about their first album, and we're talking some 20 years ago.
This is in the 1992 with the first album of ICP as we know it, with kind of the current roster of characters.
So how has ICP's sound evolved through the years?
I would say that they coined an entire genre by themselves. There were other players in that, but horrorcore, which is this sort of violent, cacophonous sound, can be attributed to them. And if you listen to their that original song, Carnival Carnage, you hear elements, for example, of the Bomb Squad from Public Enemy, this collage of noise and sound effects that undergirds what they're rapping about. They've kept a lot of that, but I think that they've broadened their sound a little bit, which you can hear on their later releases.
In fact, here's a bit of Juggalo Party, and this is the most recent studio album, The Marvelous Missing Link Found. That's from 2015. just coincidence, guys, of timing that all three are, as the Free Press pointed out, politically relevant in 2017? Or has it been building to this? Is this not a surprise to you?
I would argue it's been building. I think it is interesting that it's all kind of, we've reached this apex of all three of these artists kind of speaking out on their own behalfs, but it's certainly got to be a product of coming from the Motor City and having all these unique Motor City experiences, even though they're on opposite sides of the spectrum and certainly in different corners in many capacities. I think that this isn't a huge surprise, especially for like Kid Rock. I think we've seen this coming, but yeah, interesting nonetheless.
Paul Young, Khaled Body, Detroit Music Magazine, as always, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
There is a lot going on in our state, and every day we talk about it right here on Stateside. Stateside and all of your favorite shows on Michigan Radio are made possible with your financial support. It's your support that makes up more than 60% of the station's budget. So please, do your part to keep the conversations that you enjoy and rely on strong and vibrant. Call 888-258-9866, or you can give at michiganradio.org. And here's Zoe Clark to tell you more about the fall membership drive.